Welcome to the History Podcast, an educational podcast intended to engage student learning and also engage those history fans who just love American history. Without further delay, let's get to it. Welcome to the History Podcast. It is day, I don't know, on quarantine. They're all running together at this point. I'm quite frankly not even sure what day of the week this is, but we are in quarantine, but this is the History Podcast. I'm glad that you joined us. We are going to do something a little bit unique with the History Podcast today. We're going to do the top 10 college fight songs of all time. And I am a huge college football fan, as most people who probably listen to this podcast are. College football is almost, some might consider the American pastime these days. And I'm sorry to say that to baseball fans like my father, but college football is almost synonymous with the United States of America. It is painstaking that we're not able to watch live sports, and so it got me to thinking as I'm watching some of these replays of great college football games and college basketball games. You know, I just love college sports, and I started to think about how we could incorporate college sports and my love of music with the History Podcast. So this episode is going to be about college fight songs and kind of the history behind college football. I hope you enjoy. Let's get started. College football has a really rich history. And this is why I love history, but this is also why I love sports, is just studying the old days and seeing how games progress through the years. And I know in 2020, you have people out there who say the game of football is too violent, and you'll have people that tell you that the game should be banned and all this and the other, and that we should play football with pillows. But, you know, they should understand just how violent the game used to be. Just go back to the 1900s, and if you understand how violent the game was, I think you would have a greater appreciation on how far the game has come in terms of trying to clean up the game, making it, you know, safer for those who participate in that sport. Teddy Roosevelt, the 26th president of the United States, is one of those guys who absolutely loves the game of football. Teddy could not play football when he was a boy because if you listen to our previous podcast on Roosevelt, he had asthma. And back then, asthma was really untreatable. They just told you, you can't do anything, stay inside. And that crushed Teddy. So growing up, Teddy always had an affinity for war and, you know, just toughness and violence, because he wanted to be a part of those types. He thought those things were romantic. He thought that those things were a part of your rite of passage as a man. And when he becomes president, the game of football at this point, we're talking about college football, is extraordinarily violent. I mean, people are dying left and right. In fact, in 1904, there were 18 deaths that were football related, and then 159 serious injuries. These injuries included things like wrenched spinal cords and crushed skulls and broken ribs that pierced the heart. When guys got tackled, this is where we see the dog pile come into play, where you would see people just jumping on top of the pile just to make it excessively violent. You have to keep in mind also that they weren't wearing any helmets. They had very limited protection, and they were using their bodies essentially as wrecking balls or battering rams. There weren't rules on player safety in the early 1900s. But when Teddy hears cries from those who want to essentially end the game of football. He wants to do everything in his power to keep that from happening because he, like I mentioned, is a huge, avid football fan. And in fact, his son, Theodore Jr., played at Harvard. And he knew that the game needed to be cleaned up. It needed reform. He knew that. But to ban it, that seemed a little bit far-fetched for Teddy Roosevelt. You have to understand Teddy Roosevelt's mindset, too. Roosevelt is a guy who saw war as romantic. He saw, certain things that many of us would call violent as kind of your rite of passage as a man. And football was one of those things. He did not want to soften, as he called it, the nation's toughness level by eliminating a sport that people saw as too violent. So what Roosevelt did was he sought out the leading representatives of each of the top collegiate programs. He also brought in their university's head coaches. And the leading collegiate programs at this time are not the programs that you're thinking of. We're talking about places like Harvard, where his son played, Princeton, and Yale. And he brings them in on October 9th, 1905. And you can only imagine Roosevelt, because Roosevelt is one that uses the bully pulpit. I mean, he's going to get in there and he's going to talk about how the game needs to be cleaned up. And before all these representatives leave on October 9th, 1905, he gets them to agree that the game needed to be cleaned up and that they would do their part to promote the changes needed. Unfortunately, for Roosevelt, there's not a whole lot that he can do. He can encourage these men. He can rely on their credibility of their word is as good as what they say it is. But ultimately, what we see in 1905 is more violence. We see one more death, 19 deaths in 1905, and the serious injuries come down a little bit, but still 137 serious injuries. We're not talking about sprained ankles here. So after the 1905 season, you have schools across the country who are now making decisions to drop the program altogether or move to a different sport. Stanford and California are going to switch from football to rugby. They say, we might as well just play rugby. I mean, it's at least a little safer than what we're seeing out here in football. Columbia, Northwestern, and Duke, all three of these universities just dropped the program altogether. And even Harvard is hinting that they too may even drop football, and that's where Teddy puts his foot down. Teddy, a graduate of Harvard, like I mentioned earlier, his son played at Harvard. Teddy did not want that to happen. So he brings the university leaders back to the White House after the 1905 season, where he began to push for radical rule changes. We're not going to leave here until you guys can come up with radical rule changes that can be implemented. And because of Teddy Roosevelt, we will see them come up with this radical reform. And the radical reform will be to develop an intercollegiate conference. Eventually, down the line, this will become the NCAA, that will oversee not only collegiate football, but collegiate athletics. Also at this meeting, they will legalize the forward pass. They will outlaw these mass formations where guys were interlocking arms and just using their bodies as a battering ram. They'll also create the neutral zone that we see that separates the offense and the defense. They cannot line up in that neutral zone. You'll also see down and distance for a first down extended from 5 yards to where it is now at 10 yards. The following two seasons, 1906 and 1907, we actually see the fatalities come down quite considerably. Still a lot when you're talking about deaths, but it goes down to 11 in 1906 and the same number in 1907. But for whatever reason, probably because teams are finding loopholes around the rules or lack of enforcement. In 1909, we're actually going to see those numbers spike again, which is going to lead to even more radical reform rule changes that shape the game of football into what we know it today. And that was in the early part of the 1900s where the game of college football really is transformed. And that leads us into our discussion today on what I love to talk about, and that is the greatest fight songs of all time. As a kid, I remember growing up on a Saturday morning, we would get so excited about the college football games that were going to be on TV. Now, it wasn't like it is today where you have just a plethora of games on everywhere. But there was one thing that was true every Saturday, and that was that Notre Dame was going to be on TV. Now, I'm not a Notre Dame fan, but I do love Notre Dame's fight song, and I love a good fight song. And there, this list is going to put together the top 10 fight songs according to the Bleacher Report that came out in 2019. And so we're going to take the Bleacher Report's list from 2019, and we're going to discuss each one of these as we go. And I hope you enjoy it, and I hope that you will come up with your own list and share those with us. Because I can tell you, while I appreciate this list, I'm not sure that this would be my list. But let's start with number 10, Bow Down to Washington. This is the Washington Huskies fight song. Bow Down to Washington was written by Lester Wilson in 1915, just prior to World War I beginning. And what is really cool about this song is people really bought into how much this affected the game. They really believed that the fight song helped them win. Why do they believe that? Because the Huskies that year, when the song was debuted in 1915, they went 7-0. On top of that, the night, the very first game that it was debuted, they thumped Cal 72-0. So number 10 is Bow Down to Washington. Number 9 on our list that was provided by Bleacher Report in 2019, the Florida State fight song. Now, we're not talking about the tomahawk chop. That's not what we're talking about. This was originally it was a poem written by a student at Florida State, and later a professor at Florida State by the name of Tommy Wright is going to use this poem that he thought was just a great poem for a fight song for the university, used it for his composition, combining the two to create the Florida State fight song. And here's a cool fact. I love these kind of stories. A cool fact about Professor Wright. Wright was such a huge Seminole fan that he gave up the rights to the song in exchange for season tickets to Florida State football games. You know, I've got a couple of questions about that. How does a professor not get tickets, season tickets to Florida State football games? That's my first question. Secondly, I want to know if it was lifelong season tickets or just for one season. But nonetheless, a really cool fight song. Don't know that it would make my top 10, but in the Bleacher Report of 2019, it does make the list at number 9, the Florida State fight song. Number 8 on the Bleacher Report list from 2019, best college football songs of all time, Anchors Away by the Naval Academy. And this song was composed by Charles Zimmerman in 1906. So keep all of the context in mind. So 1906, the president at the time is Theodore Roosevelt, who we mentioned earlier. Teddy Roosevelt, during his administration, is going to increase the appropriations of the budget into the Navy. He believes that we must have a strong Navy. This is during the time of expansionism. People believe that the United States, if we're going to be a world power, after the Spanish-American War, 1898, we become a world power, and there is this mindset that if we're going to truly remain a world power, we have to have a stronger Navy than what we have. And so during the Roosevelt administration, he's going to pour money in to the Navy. In fact, he'll have the Great White Fleet built, which is this series of naval battleships that are going to be built, and he'll eventually take them on a goodwill tour, as he calls it. If you want to hear the funny story behind the goodwill tour, listen to the previous podcast that we did on Teddy Roosevelt. But so with all the context around the Navy, you have Charles Zimmerman, who's going to write Anchors Away, which is going to be a really, really historically important song for our Navy. They kind of go hand in hand. And one little tidbit on Anchors Away, or one little fact, I guess, factoid, is oftentimes when you hear the title Anchors Away, most people spell away A-W-A-Y. But that's the incorrect spelling for this term. Anchors Away is spelled A-W-E-I-G-H. Number eight, it would be way higher on my list, but number eight, Anchors Away. Number seven on the Bleacher Report list from 2019 is Tiger Rag, the Clemson Tigers fight song. I have to be really frank with you here. I'm not sure that this would even be in my top 15. It's a cool song, don't get me wrong. But I just don't see this as one of the top 10 historically great songs of all time. I would love to hear your input on this. You can leave that in our feedback on the podcast episodes. But Tiger Rag is often nicknamed the song that shakes the Southland. You'll hear it used a lot of places, not just at Clemson, but the Tiger Rag is pretty synonymous with Clemson. There's a catchy line in the song, as most fight songs have. And the line goes, "Hold that tiger." You'll hear it repeated over and over and over again. Number seven, Tiger Rag of Clemson. Number six on the list, and I'm sorry, number six on the Bleacher Report list of 2019 is Fight On by Southern Cal. And I feel personally this would be at the top of my list. One of the top three fight songs of all time. There is not a tougher, more warlike fight song than Fight On by Southern Cal. Fight On was composed by a USC dental student named Milo Sweet in 1922. So keep that in perspective. 1922, we're on the heels of World War I. We've just come out of World War I in 1918, 19. And then in 22, we're in the growing boom of the economy. I really love that these songs were composed so long ago, and to think about what was going on all around them at the time. We are in the midst of the Harding administration. You've got all sorts of stuff going on with Harding. Harding's going to eventually die in 1923 due to a heart attack. And then Calvin Coolidge, his vice president, will take over in 23 and then win his own term in 24. But Fight On, one of the greatest, what I consider a battle cry in college football. Just to hear them yell Fight On is so cool to me. Number six on the Bleacher Report list, Fight On. Number five on the Bleacher Report from 2019 is On Wisconsin. On Wisconsin was a song originally composed with the title Minnesota, Minnesota by William Purdy, who was a huge Minnesota Gopher fan. His roommate, Carl Beck, was a huge Wisconsin fan and a Wisconsin student as well. And Purdy was getting ready to enter this into the contest. They were having a contest at the University of Minnesota. If your song won, then it could become the fight song of Minnesota, the official fight song. But Carl Beck somehow, some way, convinces Purdy that he needs to submit it as the Wisconsin fight song. Purdy concedes. Beck's going to change the lyrics of the song to fit Wisconsin. And ever since that point, in 1909, On Wisconsin has become the song that's played at Camp Randall every time a touchdown is scored. Number five on the list, On Wisconsin. Number four on the list is the Victory March, the fight song for the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. The Victory March is probably one of the most recognizable fight songs in all of the country. I don't really care who you are, if you like sports or not, you probably recognize the Victory March. And the cool history behind this song is that it was written by two brothers, Michael and John Shea, who both graduated from Notre Dame, who have invested both time and money into the university. They composed this song, and it will debut for the very first time in public on Easter Sunday in 1909. And again, I love numbers. I love dates. Dates kind of bring me back to what's going on in history. 1909 is when William Howard Taft takes office for his only term. He is Teddy's best friend at the time. Teddy handpicks him to replace him, and he only serves one term. The two longtime friends become bitter rivals, and they will run against each other in 1912 along with Woodrow Wilson. Woodrow Wilson ends up beating them because they split each other's votes in 1912. But it's just kind of neat to think that the Victory March was written in the first year of William Howard Taft's administration. Number four on the Bleacher Report list, the Victory March by the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Number three, Rocky Top, the Tennessee Volunteers. This song is actually, many people don't know this, but this is actually not the official fight song of the Tennessee Volunteers. It was first recorded in 1967 by the Osborne Brothers. And, you know, since that point, it's kind of taken off as kind of this unofficial fight song for the university. In fact, the University of Tennessee has a perpetual license to play the song as often as they see fit. I did not know this about the song, but I found it pretty cool, was that the song was so popular that in 1970, it shows up as a top 100 country song in the country. It was Lynn Anderson's version of the song, and it appeared on the charts at number 17. This is a song that will get stuck in your head and you won't be able to get it out of your head. That's the sign of a good fight song, where it is just constantly ringing in your head. Number three, Rocky Top. Number two on our list is Boomer Sooner, the Oklahoma Sooner fight song. And Boomer Sooner was a song that was actually derived from Yell's Bula Bula. And then the song Bula Bula was then converted by Arthur Aldeen, who was a history and physiology student at Norman in 1905, to become Boomer Sooner. What's interesting about this time period is that the song was composed and converted in 1905, 2 years before Oklahoma even became an official state in the Union. They were still technically a territory at this time. And I'm just fascinated by tidbits of history like this. And it's things that we may not ever know unless we dig into random, you know, nuggets of history like college fight songs. 1905 also is a period where, you know, Teddy Roosevelt's going to earn a Nobel Peace Prize for bringing the Russo-Japanese War to a close. This is a really expansive period for our country. We are entering the global stage as a world power, after our victory in the Spanish-American War, and we're trying to feel our way out in the early parts of the 1900s. 1905 is also the year that Teddy's going to bring in all the head coaches from the collegiate powerhouses that we talked about earlier in the podcast to talk about reform in the game of football to make it safer for the college and high school athletes as well. Number two on our list, the great Boomer Sooner. And we finally reach the top of the list. And I can't argue this pick with Bleacher Report. Number one on the list is the Victors, the fight song for Michigan University, or University of Michigan, rather. It was written and composed by a student named Louis Elbel in 1898. I love these dates, man, because it makes me think about what's going on historically. 1898, we're in the Spanish-American War. 1898, we also acquire Hawaii, the annexation of Hawaii as a territory. There's a lot going on historically in 1898. There's just certain years when you look at American history that stand out to you the most, and 1898 is one of those years. And lo and behold, the Bleacher Report's number one song in college football history was also composed in 1898. The Victors is such a staple at Michigan that one of the previous presidents in our country's history, Gerald Ford, was an alum of the university. And he would oftentimes, when he was president, he would have the Victors played as a replacement for Hail to the Chief, which is often played by the Naval Band anytime the president arrives or gives a speech somewhere. In fact, Ford loved the song so much that he had requested when he died that it be played at his funeral. And so when he died, instead of playing it at his funeral, they played it in his funeral procession to the Capitol. Really cool stuff. Historical stuff that makes a nerd like me geek out. But that's number one on Bleacher Report's list. I'm going to give you my list coming up. All right, so now we get down to my list and how it compares to the Bleacher Report list from 2019. I like the guys over at Bleacher Report. They're awesome, do awesome work. But here's my list. Number 10, a fight song that was left off the Bleacher Report list. Number 10 on my ultimate college football fight song on Brave Old Army Team, the fight song for Army. Number 9, and by the way, the Army fight song, I love the way it starts. The trumpets coming in first to start. It sounds like there's a battle about to commence. And if you've not experienced the Army-Navy game on television, you need to watch it. It's one of the great college football games of all time. Me personally, that's one of my bucket list sporting events. I would love to go see Army-Navy play just to see those two squads go toe-to-toe. It's bigger than just the game as well. So number 10 on Brave Old Army Team, the Army fight song. Number 9, the Florida State fight song, which is the Florida State fight song. Number 8, they were way down on my list compared to Bleacher Report, is Rocky Top, Tennessee's fight song. Number 7, on Wisconsin. So they're right around where I had them, or right around where Bleacher Report had them. Number 6, a fight song that was not on the Bleacher Report list, is on mine, and maybe it's my Texas roots, but the Aggie War Hymn is number 6 on my ultimate college football fight song list. Number 5, I'm a diehard Sooner fan, but number 5 on my college fight song list is Boomer Sooner. Number 4 on my list is Anchors Away. Just absolutely love that fight song. The Naval Academy's fight song, Anchors Away. And then the top 3. Number 3, Victory March by Notre Dame, or the Notre Dame's fight song, rather. And number 2, the victors. Hail to the victor, the University of Michigan, and number one on my ultimate college football fight song list, Fight On by Southern Cal. That's all the time we have for today. I hope that you've enjoyed it. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Give us some feedback, positive, negative. We don't care. We love it. And if you have an opportunity, tweet us your top 10 fight song list. We would love to hear what you have to say. You can tweet us at the History Podcast on Twitter. Until next time, guys, stay safe. Make sure you're making good, informed decisions. And as always, those who don't know history are doomed to repeat it. We'll see you next time.